Monday Night Talk continues all week long. Go to 95.9WATD.com/Monday Night Talk and keep in touch on Facebook and Twitter. And now, more Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
And we are back. Thank you so much, Malcolm, for helping the fine folks who are out on the roadways trying to get home and get home quickly. Our first guest joining us, this gentleman is going to have a busy week this week as he has been appointed to the Budget Conference Committee. We have State Senator Vinny DiMassino joining us. Senator, how are you this evening?
Kevin, I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
And of course, I want to make sure I acknowledge to you right now the great Peter Brown is in studio co-hosting with me this evening.
Oh, hey, Peter Brown, the man.
Hey, Senator.
My boys do a good job.
That's right.
That was good. That was very good, Senator.
Now, what did you think of that?
That was good. You know what? Next time, I'll have to talk to Bob Parkus next time they cut a spot that you're the guy who's in there kind of doing the voiceover.
I'll be the backup for the commercial.
There you go. That's what we need. We need a stand-in. Talk to us about putting together your first, being a part of your first budget in the Senate. You're not new to it because you did it for many a year as a member of the House, now as a senator. What was this process like? Just, it was the same old, same old?
No, actually, it was different. It was, just by the sheer fact of so many more issues to deal with when you add, instead of just one community, now have six communities dealing with six different town managers, boards of selectmen. And so you know, there's a lot more issues that I had to be on top of and be part of through a process. Now, fortunately, when you go to the Senate, you have a bigger staff and you can get some assistance because there is just a lot more stuff to cover. And by the very nature of the fact that there's only 40 as opposed to 160, it's a, as far as the process goes, you're very much more part of the process during the whole time, as opposed to in the House, you have issues that you're working on and then you're not working on issues that may be being debated at that time. So I very much enjoyed it. I felt like it was successful for us in my position, and now I'm thrilled that I'm going to be on the conference committee now on the Senate side, and so we're looking forward to it.
What do you feel is going to be some of the issues that you guys are going to be trying to iron out? Do you think one of them will be that freezing of the income tax of 5.15? Will that be one of the sticking points?
Oh, of course. That is a big issue for a couple of reasons. One, by the very nature of doing that, it's a change in public policy, it's a change in tax policy. But secondly, I think the bigger issue is this concept of, is it a money bill? And for those people who don't know what this is all tax, money bills generate from the House. Anything that's done with taxes has to come from the House first before it's ever considered in the Senate. That's in our Constitution. And so there's an interpretation by the Senate that they believe that because of a change that we made in tax law, FAS 109, which is a delay of a tax break for businesses, that what ends up happening is it makes it a money bill. So that very issue, of course, has now gone to the Supreme Court for an opinion. Is this actually a money bill? Because if it's not a money bill, that whole debate of the earned income tax credit and the freezing of the income tax is null and void.
So I would ask you, what's your opinion on this being something that they think that the Senate president kind of led the charge in freezing this in order to be able to implement the greater earned income credit for low-income families? That is what happened, right?
That's correct. Yeah, it's an earned income tax credit. Again, is this a money bill? I think that one could make the argument because they freeze the FAS 109 that it is indeed a money bill. So I'm not disagreeing with that. Mm. However, I will say I have a problem with the fact that the government is picking winners and losers. We're deciding that we're going to take a tax cut that was supposed to go to these people, and we're taking it from these people, and we're giving it to a different group of people. I think that that's kind of a concern. It's a big concern for me because, A, it's a change in precedent and what we've done, And it's reneging on, I believe, what we made a promise to the people that we would go back to 5% years ago.
I mean, as voted, right.
When it's happened, and we're going back on that. So I think that's the second part of it. So it's not that I don't suggest that, you know, the earned income tax credit is a good thing, but we are taking money from one group of people and we're diverting and giving to another group of people. And I think that that's a clear change in policy and one that I don't agree with.
So if you were to kind of play political Nostradamus and give us kind of an idea as to what you think will end up happening with this part of the budget, do you feel that this is something that will ultimately end up getting the thumbs up, or that it will be something that is tabled and maybe looked at for fiscal 2017 if possible?
I think it's too big of an issue to be resolved in this particular budget, in my personal opinion. I think, you know, that the governor has been very clear that he's not going to, although he supported the earned income tax credit, I think when he brought that into play, I think his initial policy was he was going to get rid of the movie tax credit, and that's how he was going to pay for it. And so this is, you know, different than it was not to freeze the income tax, and I think he made it very clear that he was not going to do anything in regards to taxes. And then, of course, the House has said the same. So you have two groups, the governor, you know, the administration and the House, that have said no, and of course you have the Senate. There is no real dollars and cents that are moving here, because whatever savings that there is being absorbed by the earned income tax credit. So if let's say you make more money because of the tax, because of the tax being frozen, you are expending it through the earned income tax credit avenue. So it's kind of a wash there. So that's not going to be the problem. It's more of a philosophical thing. So my gut is that it's an issue that ends up, regardless of what the decision of the Supreme Court is, it's an issue that will be tabled for further discussion.
Okay, we are speaking with State Senator Vinny DiMassita, and we're talking about his seat, one of six, who will be on that Budget Conference Committee starting this Wednesday. I think Peter, did you have a question for the good senator?
Yes, I did, Senator. You know, I'm on the board with the Plymouth Chamber of Commerce, and we had our board meeting on Friday. And we're talking about the cuts that were coming for the tourism and the community for Plymouth. And we're wondering if they were going to maybe reestablish some of the cuts that they were doing, or how they were going to appropriate some more money for us for the Plymouth 300. What are your thoughts and what's going to happen with that?
The Plymouth 400th Committee, that's 2020. As many people know, that was an issue that I had been working on for quite some time. And we had initially gotten $250,000 last year for that, but because of the 9C cuts, it was cut in half by Governor Deval Patrick during the 9C cuts. Right. Then Governor Baker was going to then cut the rest of the $125,000. I was able to make the case that would be a bad idea. It would stop the whole 400th celebration, all the time and effort that we've gone trying to gear up and be prepared for this big commemoration. And then it was filed in the House, was not successful in the House. They got $25,000. I was able to get, though, $200,000 in the Senate budget. So it is a conferenceable item. So what you're going to see happen is that's going to be part of the debate during the conference committee. I'm hopeful that because I'm on that conference committee, I'll be able to be there with the other five members to be able to make the case of why this investment in not just the town of Plymouth, because this isn't a celebration of just 400th of Plymouth. It's a celebration of the 400th celebration of, frankly, the founding of this nation. And it's not just about Massachusetts, it's about the nation. And I think I'll be able to make that case, and I think that we'll find the support in there. Now, you mentioned the tourism funding. Tourism funding was another big issue. That, too, got 9C'd, and it was something that we were concerned about because the governor had only put $500,000 in regional tourism councils, which are these councils that are around the state that, you know, expend dollars for tourism advertising. They try to get dollars. And that was down to $500,000. We have gotten it back up to 5 million. Actually, it was 5 million in the Senate, and 5 million in the House, 6 million in the Senate. So that is another issue that is going to be debated. But I think we're making some progress in that regard for regional tourism. So that those monies should be increased at least to 5 million, if not to 6 million.
All right.
Thank you.
Senator, anything you want to say in closing, whether it's about the Budget Conference Committee or anything that you got going on in district?
Well, just one last thing. I think it's probably one of the biggest issues that we're going to be debating in the budget.
MBTA.
And that's the issue of the Financial Control Board for the MBTA.
Right.
That was an issue that the governor, after all the nightmares that I think we all know what happened with the MBTA,
this winter,
put a task force together. And one of the major recommendations was a financial control board for this agency. We know that there's a MassDOT board, which is oversees all transportation. But this would be a financial control board specifically geared towards just the MBTA for 3 to 5 years to try to get its fiscal house in order. It's a $2 billion line item. We spend $2 billion a year. Half of that is actually subsidized by the taxpayers, up to $1 billion. So, you know, with all the challenges we've had, I think it's risen to the, you know, case that we need to get some oversight in there. And we were able to get that in the Senate version of the budget. It wasn't in the House. So that's another big issue that's going to be part of this debate in the conference committee. When we first started, there was six of us that co-sponsored that legislation in the Senate out of 40, and there was very clear signals that we weren't doing it. But fortunately, the media, many groups weighed in on it, business communities, and by the end of the debate of that week, the budget debate, we ended up getting a unanimous vote for this financial control board in the Senate. So that's another big issue that I think is going to be important, and I think a lot of people are going to want to see how that plays out.
Well, we definitely would love to have you back on in a couple of weeks just to kind of get your take on how the conference committee wrapped up and, you know, how proud you are that you're sending on a budget to the governor to see what happens, if he'll sign it or if he'll do some amending himself.
Exactly, and we'll see. But I hope you're right. It's only going to be a couple of weeks. I tend to think it's probably going to be longer than that, but I'm hoping you are correct. So, Peter and Kevin, thank you so much for having me on the show, and I hope you all have a great night.
We will. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Senator.
State Senator Vinny DiMaceto joining us. We will step aside, and when we come back, more Monday Night Talk.
This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.